Hey yo, you are now listening to the second season of the Pride Diaries. Yay! As usual, I'm your host, Rainbow. This season, we will be tackling specific social issues that plague us as queer people living in Nigeria or in Africa, and in Africa. This episode, we will be talking about abuse in queer relationships, because we don't talk about it enough, really. I've heard excuses like, oh, we need to protect our community is so small, so we can't, you know, ostracize people for being abusers, and I think that's bullshit, really. If we don't talk about it, we're creating more room for abusers to perpetrate more abuse because they are not being held accountable. They are not able to look at themselves and say, oh, I did this bad thing and I shouldn't do this bad thing. Why did I do this bad thing? And how can I prevent this bad thing from happening again? And we put the burden on victims. So I feel like we have more work to do, and I'm hoping that this episode is going to bring more light to the amount of abuse that happens within our community. I love to see you beautiful. I want to see your light.
Today, I feel at peace to talk about my experiences because I am healing, I am more self-aware, and I believe I'm growing. I still have a lot to learn, and this is not to say that I am without blame or that I am a saint, but one thing I've come to realize is that abusive people have the tendency to rewrite the story and take one thing they have against you and label you as the bad guy. But this is 2020, and I have decided to take back my voice, take back my power, and rewrite my story. And generally speaking about abuse, I think oftentimes people in emotionally abusive relationships do not understand that they have been abused because there is no violence involved. But in my case, it did get violent. And many will also dismiss or downplay emotional abuse because they think it's not as bad as physical abuse. But that is a big mistake because it could easily get that way. And this form of abuse for me, I think it deteriorates a person's self-esteem, especially when you do not have a community of people that understand what you're going through and people you can talk to, and your abuser most likely have that support. So I met my abuser in the most random way, and at the time I wasn't out, and my abuser was many things. And she would also, you know, when I met her, she would have sex with you, and she had a bag filled with panties where she puts people's panties whenever she had sex with them, which I did not understand, but I guess it showed that she was a sexual, you know, conqueress. And the relationship went in different ways, and I just know that a lot of times I would stay crying literally, and my abuser would be there smoking and looking at me like I'm being ridiculous. I was made to look like I was crazy. I was made to look like I was wrong for fighting off being emotionally abused. I was made to look like the obsessive girlfriend was so in love with this person, so she had to, you know, go crazy. But in all honesty, that wasn't the entire truth. And my abuser would always flirt with people on social media, giving them the right to disrespect our relationship. And whenever I would confront her, she would literally come off like it's not her fault that people wanted her. And for some stupid reasons, I believed that. And I also was, you know, I really disliked a lot of women on social media at the point because I felt like they were coming after my partner. But looking at it now, I realized that was honestly bullshit, because you give people access to you, you determine what people, you know, share or say to you, especially when you're in a relationship. And at the time, I think things began to change when I started getting the audience that she was getting. And funny enough, she literally told the whole world that I was gay because she had to announce how she fucks me on social media. So things got more intense when I started getting advances from women, even from a friend, who used to say that I deserved better because we used to be together and she used to see the way my partner at the time would treat me. And I wouldn't lie, you know, things got complicated and with the other person. And I tried to make up for it, we tried to work through it, and we did to an extent, until one day we got into an argument and she slapped me. I was sleeping and she woke me up from sleep with a slap, and we continued to argue. I walked away and she followed me back and forth. Then at the end of the night, she got upset, she sat on me, she punched me 2 or 3 times, my eyes, and she also she choked me also. And my left eye, I can't remember right now, it was years ago, got swollen. And I tried to cover up for her. Nobody knew, not my friends. Only 1 or 2 of her friends knew, but what did they say? And she apologized, of course, blamed it on her past or blamed it on whatever family trauma or whatever. And also she came to my house at the middle of the night trying to apologize after she walked out on me earlier in the day because I didn't want to accept the apology. She came back in the middle of the night when she knew that, of course, I wasn't going to ask her to leave my house. So I let her in and I forgave her. She made me delete the picture I had of the swollen face because, in quote, it made her sad and I didn't want her to be sad, so I deleted them. And it was just a roller coaster, and I think one day I said enough was enough because on that day she had ridiculed me in front of my sister and said things about my sexuality in front of my sister, and also brought in some very, very personal things about my family into the argument. And I lost it, and I think at the time I just wanted to hurt her the way I was hurting, and I did something which I regret till today, and I made restitution for over 1 year. That's not the point. The fact is that the physical abuse did not even stop at that point. Then it continued even the next year. Well, I don't even want to go into that right now. But at the end of the day, my point is, I know it's not easy to talk about emotional abuse or physical abuse to anyone, because for me, I couldn't talk about it with anybody at the time. But luckily enough, I had Miriam, who was there for me to an extent, and I am really thankful for her even till today. So, yeah.
Okay, this is a really weird dynamic, and I will make it as brief as possible. So, first off, I am that person to advocate for emotional IQ, to own our shit, show up to the world a better person, all of that extra, you know, the cool stuff. Now, that's how I come off to the world. That's how I see myself. And that's the goal. It's a process, you know, it's a never-ending process. Now, the thing is, my relationships, on the other hand, has just been weird. It's been just weird because most of my girl relationships have been with straight females. I find myself just always being attracted to straight girls. It was appealing. I liked to chase and all of that. But then straight and bi-curious girls. And this one relationship I had with, a situationship I had with a bi-curious girl, she was a toxic, manipulative one. And I felt used at the time. I was naive and I didn't realize I was being used. Not until later did I realize that this bitch used me. Sorry for like the B word, but like that bitch used me. And I was depressed for a long ass time. And you know, when I came out of it, you know, I was this totally different person. And I was like, nah, it's not gonna happen again. You know, but then, like I said, I advocate for, you know, emotional IQ and all of that. So, I didn't want to be the person to hurt people. I liked people. I felt like people were just being shit because they didn't know how else to be, you know. So I thought that was who I was until I started putting myself in actual relationship with people that actually liked me. And my pattern was, if I wasn't getting enough attention, I would start a tantrum because I could. you know, and if I wasn't still getting enough attention, I'll just threaten to end the relationship, and straight up I'll get my attention. And that was just weird. That was the pattern for a long ass time. And then this particular situation with a fuck buddy, you know, she came off closed off. She kept saying, "Don't catch feelings, don't catch feelings. I'm cold hearted, blah, blah, blah." Eventually, I communicated well enough that, you know, it was just sex. And it was cool for a while until she started warming up to me. Of course, I'm a cool person. She started warming up to me and, you know, she started liking me for some weird reasons. And, you know, that, because I felt like she started liking me more, you know, every time I said something, it would piss her off. But then she was not one to say it, you know, in the moment, because most times we're not together, you know, it was a fuck buddy relationship. So it was whenever I came around, whenever I came to see her or some shit, and of course I'm coming to smash you, I'm not coming to talk. I'm a demisexual, yeah, I want to talk, I want to get to know you, but like, we talk, we smash, we talk more. That was how it was for me, you know. That was a very self-centered thing. That was like everything had to go my way. And yeah, so you know, she wouldn't, if I did something prior, she wouldn't tell me about it that at the time, and then she would wait until when it's time for me to smash, and they'd be like, "Oh no, you can't smash." That was straight up manipulative. And being the self-centered person that I was, I'll get mad and say hurtful stuff. I'm not an abusive person. I won't tell you, "Oh, I won't say you're stupid, you're an idiot, blah blah blah." But like, if I feel like you're doing some stupid shit, I'll call you out on it in like the worst way possible. I'm not a very sensitive person. I didn't realize that she was very sensitive, and you know, that was just, it played out, it was really toxic. That ended up in a really toxic way. I, to this day, I don't know how to move on from it, because you know, having that, it's like I put up a facade of being genuine, of being mature, of being a non-toxic person, but then I was exhibiting all of this character. I was the exact opposite. So, you know, and then I realized it was a process, you know, I shouldn't beat myself up about it. But then, you know, I feel it was because of what I had gotten myself into as a really young child, because I was dealing with a lot of street females that didn't know what they wanted, that affected me, my mental health, my emotional state, all of that extra. And I was very ignorant. And I carried that into relationships, and that fucked people up, that fucked me up, and yeah.
Stay woke. Stay guided, be alert. It's someone you consider a close friend, you know? It's definitely worse. Not even does it last you close. Someone you consider a friend, you know, someone that you would like, that you believe has your interest at heart and has love in their heart for you the way you do for them. So, I mean, especially when they try to make it like this huge game, and it's not just you, you know, they try to fuck with everybody, you know, that's involved with you, everybody that's connected to you, you know, like a group of friends that you're in. And okay, something that happened on Twitter just came to mind, but anyway, like, they try to, you know, turn everybody against each other and just mess up a good thing. And then you start to think about it, it's like, this person called you friend, this person called you family, but they had the audacity to lie, to cheat, to manipulate, to fake, and just mess with you, just have you gaslighting yourself, have you second guessing and doubting yourself. Is because they want to remain the center of attention, or because they're selfish, or they want to, you know, they want everything. Things that they don't even deserve. Things that, you know, they're not supposed to have. But they just try to mess with everybody and mess everything up for selfish reasons. But anyway, today's not the day I go into details about it, but it's just like, every time it crosses your mind, every time you think about it, the effect lingers. Every time you think about it, it crosses your mind, you get angry all over again, get riled up. Not to talk about, you know, when you want to talk about it, that's a whole other level of insane and upset. Especially because it gets to a point where it's like it never ends. every time it comes up, there's a new problem, a new lie, a new dumb shit they did. And they all didn't even know, just finding out, you know, new and more things after the fact. Which are just as bad as the reason why you had to cut them off and throw them out in the first place. Like I said, enough of that. But I also got to thinking about self-gaslighting, like the type of stuff that's not... And I'm just putting it out there, but I was wondering if, you know, you can... If it's right or if it's possible to say that you abuse yourself. And I was just thinking about how we gaslight ourselves and how that could be emotional abuse itself. I was just thinking. And how I feel like it's caused by, you know, our childhood. If you grew up in a situation or in a family where you were constantly gaslit or second guessed, or, you know, just your mind frame, mindset is built a certain way. I feel like it makes us more susceptible to stuff like that. But this is just personal reflection, and that's not why I'm here, so I'm gonna end this now. It's just something I've been thinking about.
Okay, hey, good evening. My name is Nonso. So, I met this man. I think I was in 200 level. Yeah, I was in 200 level. So I was registering for hostel. So usually do it at one student affair. I hustled first day. I couldn't do it. Second day, I think I kept seeing him. He kept seeing me too. See, but I couldn't complete it. So with time, one day he now told me that don't worry, that he'll help me, that she just come, then he'll write my name among the first set of people and stuff like that. So I did it with time, he was helping me with the registration and stuff. I did the whole registration, I went to my portal, I did everything, So when I did everything, I came back to come and thank him, then I think we exchanged number. Yes, we exchanged number. So, okay, no, we already had numbers. It was Facebook that I now got. So he now collected my Facebook username. I think one day he texted me. We're texting. Then he said, I should come over. Okay, he asked about my sexuality. He didn't ask like sexuality. He did the old bottom top thing. I laughed. I replied him. Then we fixed the date that we'll see. It was actually at his place. We saw and everything. Okay, then I kept visiting. I don't know. I've never been comfortable with staying in hostel. That was the first time I was staying in hostel. That's why it was longer for me, because I had to start doing all my stuff from beginning. I never liked hostel, so I wasn't comfortable with the whole boys and everything in the whole hostel. So I think I felt more comfortable going to his house. So sometimes when I want to chill, I'll just tell him, okay, I'm coming over. With time now, and I said, let me just come and start staying there now. I said, it's even true, it's even better. So I got there now. So I was feeling like, okay, I'm staying in someone's house. I should be doing most of the chores and cooking and everything. So I started cooking, I started cleaning, I started doing everything, the whole house chore. When it got to exam time now, I couldn't start doing all those stuff. So I was not doing most of those chores. He'll come home, he'll complain, he'll shout. If he sees me sitting down pressing my phone, he'll tell me time I'm supposed to use in doing this stuff. I'm using to press phone. Every time he was always complaining, he was always talking, he was always arguing, we're always arguing. So with time now, I didn't like staying inside again. And I didn't want to go back to hostel. So I think I was splitting my time with him and a friend's place. I was going to a friend of mine. I was staying in his side too. So one day I stayed in that my friend's side for like 4 days. When I came back, before all these things, safe. He always made me feel like I owed him. So when he's asking me to do something, he'll ask with command, even down to sex. He'll just come, just start all the rules. Even when I'm not comfortable, I'll just have to give in. Stuff. I think one day he even got angry and stuff, whether he was saying we're supposed to buy something to eat, he did not now buy it or stuff. I don't even know, but I know many times I've been coerced. Sha coerced me to have sex. So I went to a friend of mine's place. I felt uncomfortable there, so I was going to a friend of mine's place and his place. I was staying in both of them side. Then one day I stayed for 3 days. When I came back, he was complaining, was shouting. He said, so I'm sleeping around. I cannot be doing all this stuff in his house. People are looking. People outside are looking. I will not be doing prostitution. I said, which, like, I went to a friend of mine's place. Like, I didn't even, he was complaining, shouted, said, I should get my stuff and get out of the house the next day, that I cannot carry disgrace and stuff like that. Okay, he actually even said that night. I said, I can't go. Because I think it was evening, it wasn't night, it was 7 o'clock. I said, I have to pack my stuff and before it will be late. He said, okay, first thing in the morning. And I obeyed him first thing in the morning. I left. I think that was the last time I heard from him again. Till I think when I was about to graduate, I went to student affair and stuff. So we saw, then he was trying to form conversation again. That's how it ended, yeah. Then we stopped talking.
This topic is so nice. I feel like I need to talk about this one. I would like to leave my name out. Yes. I've been in a more of a emotionally abusive relationship. Yeah. And I was told all sorts of things. Yeah. You know. When these abusive words are consistent and, you know, when they are consistent, they tend to tear a person down. They tend to undermine the person. They tend to, you know, make the person feel less of themselves, you know. It is something that hurts the person's self-esteem. And while I was in these things, she kept telling me all sorts of nonsense. One that wouldn't leave my head is, now only you no get mama. Now only you where your mama run. But now only you where mama don't. That word hurts me like it's just yesterday. It's been 2 years ago, but it hurts like it's yesterday. Emotional abuse leaves some things that can't even heal. Rather, it leaves a hurt that when you just get flashbacks and this thing come in your head, it's like you were defeated in some way. Sometimes it's so toxic you can't even leave this person because they make you feel like you're the perpetrator and they are the victim. But I fought it. I could talk to some people about it, and they were able to tell me that, girl, no, you're in an abusive and a toxic relationship. What you need to do is talk to people often, hear what they need to tell you, always think about leaving, because when you always think about leaving, you actually do it at some point. You know, you need to stop blaming yourself. You need to put yourself and your mental health as priority, you know. And you need to start giving them, you know, space. You need to start creating like a boundary. That's what I did for myself. And as time goes on, I was able to leave, because all of me thought that I would die if I had left that person, for real. And I was being abused emotionally. But here I am thinking, wow, so I could actually be alive without this person in my life. It's so much. I don't know how to stress on this topic, but I really want to hear other people's story, because this is mad. This is real big and this is real touchy. I would love to hear other people's story. For me, I could leave. I left. I made up my mind that I was going to leave, and I was not going to go back to that belittling scenario I used to have. I just told myself it was a no-no. So that's just it.
Hi, my name is Alex. So my abuse started sometime in 2013. I had just moved from Delta State to Lagos and I met this really great guy. Well, at first he came off as great, but as time went by, I started seeing a different side of him. So he was older, way older than I was, and on our first date, I noticed he had anger issues, but I chose to deal with it because he had prospects, and I was like, you know what, I like this guy and I think I'd fallen for him. So I was like, you know what, I'll make compromise. I will deal with his anger issues, or maybe it would change. I got into the relationship. It was great. Things were going fine. I used to stay with him sometimes. Like, I was staying in his house 4 times out of the week. I would prepare his dinner for him when he comes back from work, because then I didn't have a job. So I used to do everything for him. He would come back and make everything perfect and fine, but he was just never satisfied. He would always complain, and anytime he complains, he uses my age as a factor. He would tell me, oh, he doesn't even know why he dated someone younger than him, that young people are this and that. And I was like, but you knew I was younger, you still dated me, why did you date me? Do you get? He kept on taunting me every time with my age, always saying he wouldn't have dated a younger person. He felt like he was doing it intentionally to torment me emotionally or something. Then it got to a point where he would go out, have sex with people, and come back and tell me to my face and even show me pictures. And I'd be like, what is going on here? Like, what the hell? Do you have feelings? Like, you would do these things and you would tell me to my face, like, what are you doing? Are you trying to, like, torture me? And it got to a point where if I questioned him or tried to air my views, he would hit me. That was the new thing for him. I didn't have a say anymore. So I loved him so much that I started dealing with the beatings. When I say something, I know the next thing to expect is a slap or something. I was that madly in love with this person. So I started tolerating it. I took beatings for 3 months, 3 good months, good beatings. It got to a point where I was like, you know what, I wouldn't take this shit anymore. I know my worth, I know who I am, and I wouldn't let any man treat me like shit. So this particular day, he said something, I retaliated and he slapped me, and I slapped him back, and long story short, it was bloody. It was really, really bloody, and that was the day I ended the relationship because I couldn't take it anymore.
Hi, so this is my story. So when I was in secondary school, I dated somebody. I was like a year older, but she was 2 classes down. And the way the whole relationship started itself was very weird. I think I should say weird in the sense that I remember our first conversation or something, she tackled me to the ground. Yeah, she tackled me to the ground and choked me, but I thought it was just fun and games and stuff. And then she used to, but then the abuse, it wasn't just physical, even the physical part. I didn't even realize till like after, because at the time she beat me like with her teeth, she beat me. But then I didn't realize till like after. But then the emotional one is that she would insult me, like to my face in front of her friends that were my juniors. She would insult me and stuff like that, and call me all sorts of names for no reason, and I'll be asking, what did I do? And then nothing. And then later, she'll be like, I'm so sorry, I love you, blah, 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 blah. But she used to, like, and then, you know, in secondary school, so, like, everything was, like, widely, phone-based. Not really phone-based, but, like, when we get home, because it was a day school. So, I'll get home later than her, because I used school bus. Somebody used to come and, a driver used to pick her. So I'll get home later than her, and by the time I get home, I'm seeing all sorts of horrible things on my phone. And then the next day, she'll now send her friends to beg me. Sometimes she'll corner me in the class or something or wherever. She'll trick me into getting me to one place, and then she'll now start begging. She'll kneel down or whatever. I'll be begging and stuff. And then it was just like the same thing, the same cycle and everything. Then sometimes she'll give me money because she was like, she had money. She'll give me money. She'll buy me stuff. Well, not that much stuff, but then you get. So yeah, it was, maybe it's not like pronounced like stuff, but then I guess it was really not good on my psyche, I guess, because I already had low self-esteem and everything. So you get.
Well, it all started when we started talking. She's from Jamaica, so I guess different upbringings. It was all cool till we started catching feelings. Apparently, she was going through a lot at home. She was depressed as fuck, and that's how we bonded. She was sarcastic, had a dark sense of humor. All the hate she had for her life and her family, she transferred it to me. I just wanted to help her because I genuinely cared for her. But she always found a way to make it my fault. I remember one night like this, she had called me because she was having a panic attack. I had a panic attack too, trying to help her. Because of the time difference, it was around 4 a.m. she called me, but I didn't mind anything for her, right? So after she called, I tried to get her to calm down. I sang, I did everything, and then she started saying shit about how I'm not doing anything and then cut the call. It was freaking 4 a.m. She didn't call me back or answer any of my texts. I couldn't sleep back. I was so worried. Can you believe she didn't even apologize? But I overlooked Tisha. But I kept seeing her through manipulative ways. She was always so indifferent about things. She would say, I guess I'm a robot. I would support her and she won't do the same with me. She would always think someone is trying to change her. She would call me names, and frankly, I was getting tired of it. We would fight almost every day. Because of her, just recently, I sang a song playing my guitar and sent it to her. Her comments almost made me cry. Like, what the hell? I know you're going through stuff, but where is your humanity? Since then, I haven't been able to touch my guitar. All those hateful things she said, who would have thought it would have affect me? When I started writing a book, I asked for her opinion. She called me stupid and asked why I had to ask. It was on Wattpad. She had just liked it and didn't give me feedback on how she liked it. All I did was ask, how was it? And to say the motivation to complete the book is there, I'm lying. After that, we just stopped talking. We haven't spoken since then, and I'm doing good. I mean, I see her activities online, so I know she's doing all right. She was always saying things about suicide, and that's why I didn't just want to leave her. But I had to do what I had to do. So we stopped talking.
Will be in two folds, me as an abuser and me as a victim. When I met my ex, I was dating a guy we'll call A, who was physically and mentally and emotionally abusing me. But I never clocked that until the day he beat me up so bad that I had blood clots in my eye and I couldn't hear in one ear. That was when I decided, you know, I'm done with this. Before then, he had slapped me a couple of times, shouted at me, insulted me, called me names, blocked me everywhere, done all sorts of things. But I grew up in a family where it was normal to get beaten. My dad beat me so bad twice, and yeah, so I thought it was love. So I thought he loved me, and that's why he was doing those things he did to me. So I didn't see it as anything for the longest time until that final straw happened. And I didn't give myself any breathing space to heal before I got in a relationship with this woman. And the background of this relationship with this woman was that I was cheating on the boyfriend who used to beat me because I didn't know how to tell him.
You know, I'm tired of this relationship. I was scared of what he would do to me. So I hoped that he would find out and leave me or something. I don't know what my brain thought at that time. But I was cheating on him with this guy who happened to be my ex's best friend. So the backdrop of my ex's relationship was that that guy threw a lot of tantrums. He threatened to report us to school. There were lesbians and whatnot. It was terrible. So we had to do a lot of sneaking around. So there are instances where she would come to my house, even when, because there was a long on and off period, and then one time she decided to be on for a long time. So during that on period, she would come to my house at night and then sneak off like around 5 a.m. For a long time, I couldn't sleep with people. Like, I had to plan. Like, if you're going to spend the night, you better spend the night. If you're going to go, I have to watch you go so I can sleep, because it was traumatic for me to wake up and see my partner just leaving me. I always felt like she would leave me. So anyways, that relationship continued on and off, on and off. And through the course of the relationship, I realized I was not number two in her life. I wasn't number three. I wasn't even number four, number five. I don't know what number I was, but I wasn't important to her. And it made me say things like things that I regret. One thing that I know I said to her one time was, I wish my mom would die so she would give me attention. Because at that time, her friend's mom died and, you know, she was obviously there. But I also needed attention and I was getting zero. She wasn't replying my texts. If I call, she won't pick. Lately, like recently, I got to speak to someone who was our friend, and she told me that there are times that I would be calling and she's with her, and she would, my ex would say, oh, why this one did disturb me now? Which kind of wahala be this? And what's not? This girl just pestering my life. I didn't know all this, and it makes sense now, really, why she would not want to talk to me. The relationship continued with a lot of emotional blackmail, a lot of emotional abuse from both parties that this voice note is too short to explain. But one time I slapped her because we did long distance for a really long time, and when she finally came back home, she didn't want to see me. She told me point blank she didn't want to see me because she was celibate. It wasn't because she was celibate, she just didn't want to see me, because she never even told me the reason eventually. But my head, it was that, oh, this person is celibate, she didn't want to have sex with me. And it didn't make sense to me, because she had threatened me before that she loves Jesus now and what's not, and she ever had sex with me again, whether I initiated it or when she initiated it, she would stop talking to me immediately. And I didn't want that to happen, obviously, so I stayed away from initiating sex stuff with her. So it was sad to me that she didn't want to see me, but she would hang out with all any other person, really. Like, we had mutual friends, they would go on dates and everything, and what's bad is they would come to my house later and start gisting me, oh yay, we went out to this place, oh Jesus, something. So one night it's like, you know what, this is bullshit. So I told her, you either come and see me or you forget about our relationship. And she comes the next day and she's like, oh, she loves me, she will always remember me, she will always love me, blah, 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 blah. I was like, what? So I didn't have money. I got in a cab and I went straight to her office, because at the end of the day, I even knew her office. And I was like, why am I putting up with this shit? Let me see you. As soon as she saw me, she put me back in a car and was taking me back to my house. On the way, she was saying some painful things that I don't remember now, but it was really her thing. She just... Anyways, she said something and I slapped her. I apologized immediately after, profusely. But that wasn't even the problem. That relationship continued for a long time, where I felt I wasn't even second. I had to fight for attention, even when I was in the same, even when we had said, okay, you know what, let's focus on us. I had to fight for her attention. I had to fight for her love. From time to time, I go back and I read all the chats that we have, and I see that there was no way that relationship could have worked. It was set on a lot of abuse from both sides. Anyways, the final straw, what made us break up, was we had been planning to see, and then a date when we were going to see, she tells me, oh, she can't see me because she feels like I'm pressuring her. And I was like, where did that come from? We had been planning this thing for a while now. And I said, okay, I'm not going to come. And I start crying, and she didn't even give me any attention or whatnot. She just you know, moved. She's not the kind of person that is talk. She would rather, like, yeah. So I remember calling her that night and I was like, do you even love me? And she ended the call and did not talk to me. I had to beg her friend to please beg her to pick my calls before she finally picked my calls. And then that day she was even still being mean to me. She was always mean to me, always. Like, her aesthetic generally is mean girl, really. And I tell was attracted to that meanness. It was one of the things that attracted me, when I'll say something and she'll give me a sarcastic reply. So I don't know why I was surprised that through the course of the relationship, that was how she communicated with me. Anyways, I did a lot of manipulative things to get her attention. One thing I said during that period was, maybe when I die, you love me or something. And she was pissed. Anyway, somehow, I traveled to go and see her without telling her I was coming. Midway, my mind failed and I wanted to go back, but it was too late, so I went. When I got there, she straight up told me, you are going back on so day. And I say yes, and I wanted to talk to her, but her friend was there. And so today, I believe if her best friend wasn't there, that conversation could have gone differently. Her friend was there and I was trying, let's talk, please. And I used to be persuasive, so I was trying to get her out of bed, please, let's talk. And eventually she got up and she tried to slap me. And me being the person that they beat Shiggy not up to three years before that, I wasn't about to allow myself get beaten up again. So when I saw, till today I don't even know if she actually slapped me, but I know I saw her hand swing for me. I don't know if that slap landed on me because I did not allow it. I blocked it. And both of us fell on the bed and she tried to choke me and I beat her fingers, and that was how it ended. And it felt like an out-of-body experience. And when she started shouting when I was biting her fingers, or when her best friend pulled her off, I don't even know, I realized what was going on. I was apologizing. I was so sorry. I caught myself that day. And I realized now that that may have been a manipulative tactic in itself. But I caught myself because I just couldn't believe what was going on. And I wanted something real, like my blood. It was dark shit. Funny enough, the relationship even continued after that, even though we officially broke up. But I still had to fight for attention, and eventually it died down. There were a lot of nonsense in between. I wanted to kill myself, and I genuinely wanted to die. Not just because of her, because my world in general had fallen apart. I had dropped out of school. I wasn't in a place that I was stable. I moved to a new city. She was all I had in my head, and she didn't want me, so I genuinely wanted to die. I know she took that as, you know, me being manipulative and whatnot, and I apologized for that eventually. I don't know if she ever apologized, ever accepted my apology, but there's a lot more to the story though. I read our chats a lot because I still have the records of the chats. I read them a lot to find out where I went wrong and how I could have been better. And also because there was a long year of her dragging me on the timeline, telling people I'm crazy and this and that. And it drove me crazy for a long time. But I also had to accept that while it wasn't just me doing bad things in the relationship, I also had to accept that I did bad things in the relationship, and I have to work on that to move forward. I went to see a psychiatrist, I went to see a therapist, and I'm doing okay. I'm in another relationship now, and there is no form of abuse or toxicity whatsoever. I have moved past that, and sometimes I find myself hoping that one day me and her will talk about how terrible that relationship was for both of us and how we could have been better. This episode was especially hard to compile because there were triggering stories. Even the conversation with Emma was hard to have, really. I had people reach out to me, say, oh, I have a personal experience I would like to share. And then somewhere along the line, they go, I'm so sorry, I can't contribute anymore. This is harder than I thought. And I understood that it's hard recounting these details. One of my aims for this episode, as much as I want people to talk more about abuse in queer relationships, I also wanted abusers to look at themselves, to see themselves, to know that they are capable of doing bad things to people. Whether you did it knowingly or unknowingly, this is your chance to look inward and check yourself, like, am I a bad person? Do I do bad things? And how can you move forward from that? How can you be better? I hope that I'm able to achieve that, really. If you liked this episode and you think someone should listen to it, please share and follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at The Pride Diaries. Until the next episode, it's your host, Rainbow. Love and light always. Bye.